Redeemer, good morning. I'm going to be very honest with you all. I am nervous. But for a number of reasons, though. One, I am an emotional person. I'm an artist at heart, and so I get emotional about things. Like, literally, the very first song you did, I was trying to not cry. The other thing is that I take this seriously. I really do. I never question or try to look at if I'm worthy. I just always ask the question, God, why? Why me? Why are you using me? So whenever he brings me into a new group of my brothers and sisters and believers, I'm so humbled by it and overwhelmed by it. And then I'm like, God, why me? And so I never want to misrepresent him. So, because I know flesh and pride and things like that can rise up. So I get nervous. And then I hear songs that always bring me back to remind me of God's word. And then I go to his word and then I pray. And then he says, I chose you. It's okay. Just do what it is I called you to do. So I am grateful to be here today. I heard the call go out to visitors. If you are visiting here for the first time, I do want to reiterate that Pastor David is the senior pastor here, the lead pastor. And if you have never had the opportunity to sit and hear him and hear his heart, I would encourage you to make sure you come back. God has ordained and orchestrated his path and his life for such a time as this and for this very specific congregation. And I am grateful for the connection that God has made. Who would have thought that he living in California, me living here in Georgia, we would meet up in Colorado and boom, we can't let go of each other. So it is a blessing. And thank you, Mother Goble, for those encouraging words that you gave me earlier. I appreciate that. I want to dig right into this word. I don't want this to be a sermon about New Year's resolution, and I want to let you know that it's not. What I do hope, though, is that the message will encourage. I hope that it will encourage you that if you are currently growing in the Lord, that you will continue to grow in it, but do it with such a level of gratefulness that your relationship, your courageousness, your boldness, your witness will just continue to grow. And then I also want to, I pray that if maybe, just maybe, there's someone here who may not be sure where they are, maybe falling short in that pursuit, that through this word, that you will be compelled through the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life that will begin to be a surrender and honoring to God in a really awesome way. Because I just happen to believe that when believers come together and when we walk this partnership in faith through discipleship, that that's where amazing things happen here on earth. And I see God doing a mighty work all over the place, and I'm grateful. He's doing a greater work even with me, including with me and Pastor David. So I'm very grateful for that. So I want to pray, and then we just want to trust God with it. You guys okay with that? Cool. All right. God, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about your plan, your will, your desired will for us. Humble me. Strip anything that is currently in me that will hinder your word going forward. Prepare every heart for your word today. Let them receive every truth of it. Let me not add to it. Let me not take away from it. Let me interpret that which you would have me to interpret so that it would be edifying to the believers, encouraging to the believers, and that your word, only through you and through your power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will awaken the hearts of those who are still struggling with what they believe. We want to trust you with this hour. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So before I get started, I want to also read this this kind of call to worship plea thing. What I want us to do, I just want us to kind of hold it in our heart as we go through the word. And I want us to be able to meditate on it and trust that God will keep us in this place. It says, God of all creation, our chief end is to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Our deep delight is in your presence. Our fondest thoughts are of you. It says our strongest longing is for your house. It says in this hour of worship, help us to become everything, everyone. Help us to become who we are meant to be. A community that breathes gratefulness, thankfulness, surrender, voicing your praise in all we do. Amen. I want you all to hold on to that. We're going to jump into Philippians, and we're going to go through Romans. And what I want to start with, Philippians. Open up your Bibles, open up your electronic devices. We're going to start with Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. It's kind of just a little snippet of where Paul was and his understanding of God's plan for our lives, because ultimately, that's what I want us to really kind of focus on today. Paul says this in Philippians, starting with verse 3. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day, he says, until now. And then he says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He says, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. So before I continue, I want to stop right there because I want us to focus first on a few things that Paul is grateful for. First of all, Paul says that he is grateful to God for his connection to the Philippian church. And he says that for a reason. He says that he's grateful to God that God brings to remembrance everything about the Philippian church. And don't miss that, because it was in his mission, it was on his mission to Philippi, where Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown in jail for first delivering a young lady that had a spirit of divination who was being exploited and abused for money by men in the area. But then they were also thrown in jail. And it was in that place where God revealed his glory again, and they were able to minister to the jailer who was about to kill himself because he thought he had messed up. And then Paul and Silas ministered to him, witnessed to him, later witnessed to his entire family. And then after that, the whole family, after receiving the word of God, repented and were baptized. Paul says that I'm grateful for all of it, including the drama that I went through. But then he goes on to say that he is grateful for the gift of salvation through grace. But he also says this. He says that he's grateful to our sovereign God for his absolute plan for redemption. And Paul is excited about this. He's confident in this Redeemer. Look, this is what he says. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. You see, what happens is that we forget sometimes, oftentimes, that it is our Creator who began this work in us, this good work. He's the one who had a plan from the very beginning, before time and space had a purpose, had a place, had a presence or a position in our humanity. God began a good work in you for redemption's sake, though. But I question sometimes if the church really understands that. I question sometimes if we even care about that, because I look at how the church responds to society and to this world and to each other. I wonder if we even care that a sovereign God, before time in the recesses of eternity, put together a plan for redemption to reconcile us unto him. And I want to let you all know that this good work that God started, even in the recesses of eternity, was still laid out in the Genesis story, in creation, in Genesis. See, one of the first things that God says, he says that the light that was created was good. And then he goes on to say that the earth, the waters, and the heavenly expanse were good. Then he created vegetation, he created trees. Everyone knows the story. And the brush, and he says, hey, look, those are all good. Moon, sun, stars, good. Then he goes on to create the waters and the air, and he calls those good. The living creatures on the land and in the earth, all good. And then God decides to create man. And then he looks at and says that he's good. He looks at everything that he created And he says, it is very good. You see, the good work was already proclaimed and ordained by God. But we have forgotten as a church, as believers, as body of Christ, how to show our gratitude for such a sovereign providential plan. We forget to remember that if he is our Lord, if he is our creator, he has authority not over just what we say or do, but he has authority over our very existence. So then how do you show your generosity for such a God like that? One of the ways, the only way to show it is to say, well, let me surrender to him. Let me learn and know everything about him so that I may be a reflection of his love and his grace and thus continue to let other people know about him. But we fall short in that area. We shouldn't, but we do. I get it, though. I get it. It's difficult sometimes because we have everything in life going against us and distracting us. So look, this is what we try to do sometimes. And we really need to learn as believers to be careful about this. What we'll do, we'll portray like, front like, pretend like we are surrendering and thus receiving God's favor. We live that way. This is what we'll do. What we'll do is that some of us, we'll count our blessings, but we'll only count our blessings in the good thing. But remember, Paul said, I'm grateful for all of it, right? And then what we'll even try to do sometimes is that we'll try to live and structure our lives in a way that avoids any real derailments or any conflicts or any challenges or tension. But the thing about it is that oftentimes God will use those challenges, those derailments, to draw us closer to him, because that's where we find redemption and forgiveness and reconciliation. But we try to stay away from those things. I'll never forget, I was having a conversation with a woman. She was in her 70s, absolutely beautiful woman of God. And I'll never forget, she told me, this was recent, she said, you know, Ramon, I used to be a deacon. And she says, and I hated being a deacon. I was a deacon for 3 years, she said, because I would sit there and have to hear people's struggles and the conflict that was in the church. She said, and all I ever want to do is just hear the good about people so that I could love them. And I looked, and I understood, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And she was like, well, hon, what do you mean? I said, because that's where forgiveness is. I said, that's how you see God's glory and how he's growing. That's where redemption lies. And she looked at me, and she said, I never thought about it that way. Now, that may be a unique situation, but the reality of it is that we want to live as Christians in that good space. But God had a plan for our life that we must surrender to collectively. Now, this is the other thing. The other thing that we'll do is that we'll even pass that down to the next generation. And we'll do it with our children. What we'll try to do is we'll raise our kids. Nothing's wrong with it inherently, but we will try to raise them to be good, upstanding, all-American citizens. That's what we do. But what we neglect to do is to raise them to be Bible-believing, courageous, sacrificial, take-up-your-cross, bold type of believers so that they can really navigate this world and witness the love of Jesus Christ. But guess what, though? That's the plan. For redemption's sake, that we would carry forward God's word. And look, I want to get back to Paul. Now, see, Paul understands this. Starting with verse 8 in Philippians still, he says, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Then he says, it is my prayer. My prayer to who? A sovereign God, that same God who has authority over your lives, that same God who through Jesus Christ, who is the most perfect and most excellent and pure and holy righteous example. Paul says that it is my prayer that your love may abound. And then he says this. He says that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. And to abound, Redeemer, means that, look, he wants your love to be ever present, to be increasing, to be overflowing. And he says, I want it to abound more and more with knowledge and with all discernment. And why is that? See, the thing is that knowledge and discernment, guided by love through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, is where we find absolute truth. See, it's not enough to just say you love or to just use the word love. Paul says that it must be coupled with knowledge and all discernment, because that discernment only comes through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He says, and the reason I want you to do this, he goes to verse 10. He says, verse 10, he says, so that you may approve what is what? Excellent, depending on the version that you have. And then he says, so to be pure and blameless in the, there it goes again, the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It all begins and ends with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And once again, according to a sovereign God and his sovereign plan. And that is the plan that we're supposed to be surrendering to. Part of the reason we struggle is we, humanity, has tried to become the creators ourselves. We know that, right? You see, church, sin messed it all up. That tree of knowledge of good and evil wasn't just the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't just an acquirement, or it was an implementation. It was the knowledge to do good and to do evil, and then thus sometimes to make evil look good, and sometimes good would be called evil. It messed everything up, flipped it all upside down. So we no longer even try to subdue this earth, which was an instruction that God called us to do. And when to subdue it meant that, look, God wants us to extract every good thing out of this beautiful earth, this planet that he created for our blessings and his glory. But we decide to go off and explore everything else besides that. We haven't even scratched the surface of what God left and has prepared for us. We're so caught up in this world and forgetting what God has called us to do that we sometimes think that the way it currently is the way it always was. We have no clue what it looked like in the Garden of Eden, what that absolute balance and harmony and love really looked like. We can't imagine it. But that's why redemption was so necessary. That's why he began a plan and he's faithful to complete it. The great thing about what's happening is that you know who hasn't forgotten? You know who hasn't forgotten God's plan? Creation itself. Go to Romans 18. Open your Bibles and go to Romans 8, starting with verse 18. The rest of creation, the wind, the vegetation, the water, the trees, the beasts of the land, the livestock, none of them have forgotten about God's ultimate plan. Look, Romans 8, starting with verse 18, says this. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, it says, but because of him who subjected it. But look, there's still hope there, because God ultimately had a plan, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Then Paul goes on to say, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but he says, we ourselves who have received the first fruit, who were called, who were chosen by the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit has poured out. But then that carries over to us in today's time who have become believers. He says, we have been groaning in the spirit and groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as son, the redemption, again, the redemption of our bodies. Sin impacted everything, including creation itself. Humanity, Christ followers, are supposed to be the standard, the example, the greatest example of Jesus Christ. So, Redeemer, knowing that truth, what will you do? What will you do understanding the good work that God has planned out for you? See, if creation praises God with all the wind blowing and the bowing of the trees and limbs stretching to the heavens and to the suns and nestling beneath the moon, then the truth of it is that we should be doing the same. If the birds of the air and they're all singing a different song, and let me touch on that for just a quick second. The birds of the air, they all sing a different song. They're not caught up in whether or not it's traditional, contemporary. They're not caught up, none of that bothers them. You know why? Because God receives all of it. They're not arguing over that. They just sing their song and they catch the melody. And God says, thank you. He's blessed by that. If the birds do it, why can't we? Why can't we be open and receptive to all of it? Because sin has gotten in the way. If the livestock, the creatures of the earth and the waters, if they're moaning and groaning and crying out to the Lord, waiting on man, us, humanity, to get it right and release them from that bondage that they have been subjected to, then what about those of us who call ourselves Christ followers, who say we are believers? Should we not be moaning and groaning and hastening the day of Christ that we may be released from this same bondage? Because this world is not what it's supposed to be, according to God's desired will. But his plan for redemption is in this same madness. But we are called to hasten that day by witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ and surrendering to God's plan for our life. See, again, this good work that God has started, that he will bring to completion, it's not the good that you are, and it's not the good that you do. It is the good that he has planned for our lives, again, for redemption. And we know, according to God's word, that all things work what? Together. For good of those who are called according to what? That's basically the plan. Why are we avoiding that plan? Why are we not surrendering to that plan? Why are we not screaming out and calling out Abba Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim? Why are we not saying those things? It doesn't matter if you're currently in a season, a trial of blessings, a season of blessings or trials. God has called you to surrender and trust his plan for your life no matter what. You see, the truth of it is, Redeemer said, it's all or nothing. What we tend to do is that we tend to give him fractions. But Christ says that we have to be willing to give this all up. He says you have to be willing to even hate your family if they refuse to follow me. You have to be willing to turn away. He says, if they refuse to follow me, if the enemy suppresses their heart and their mind and they refuse to see the truth, or if I have not even awakened their hearts yet, what will you do when I lay the plan out for you? How will you move? How will you show your gratefulness? How will you show your gratitude? There's a song that, and I'm about to close up. There's a song, there are several songs actually, that we often sing that say, I am a friend of God. And there's another one, an old hymn that says, what a friend we have in Jesus, take it to the Lord in prayer. You guys know that one, right? The interesting thing about those songs that I think we forget about is that Christ says, and check this out, Christ says that there is no greater love than a man who will lay down his life for a friend. So if we're singing, I'm a friend of God, what a friend we have in Jesus, there's a responsibility on our part that comes along with that. If there's no greater love than a man who will lay down his life for a friend, and I'm a friend of God, then should I not be laying down my life for him? But we just sing it like it's just this joyful song. But God is like, no, there is something that goes along with this. There's a responsibility here. This is serious. It's not just being caught up in the musicality. Do you agree with it? Do you trust my plan that you will lay down your life, that you will take up your cross and live for me? See, Christ didn't, they didn't crucify half. They didn't nail one hand to the cross. He died completely. And then he rose again for our redemption's sake. He rose again that we may be reconciled. He rose again that we will learn through the power of the Holy Spirit how to surrender. So that is how we show our gratitude. That is how we make sure that we are grateful. That is how we move in a life of surrender. So are you willing to truly crucify all of your flesh and take up your cross and live for Jesus and trust God's plan, his redemptive plan for your life? If creation will do it, if they haven't forgotten, then we should too. And I'm gonna be honest with you, it's a struggle, I get it. Because I wanna be a friend of God, I do. Because he gave his life for me. And I do wanna be able to do the exact same thing for him. But it requires us surrendering. It requires us trusting the truth of the sovereign God that created this world. And I want to encourage us today to surrender to that. If creation would do it, then so will I. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you for your word. God, remind us of the call to worship. God of all creation, our chief end is to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Our deep delight is in your presence. Our fondest thoughts are of you. Our strongest longing is for your house. In this hour of worship, help us to become who we are meant to be, a community that surrenders, that breathes gratefulness, that walks boldly in your word, that witness the truth of your gospel, voicing your praise in all that we do. And God, I will say it again, a community that breathes gratefulness and surrender all that we do, voicing your praise. Amen.